All right, we're continuing our series entitled Empowered, and we began it last week, and we began talking about how that we are not called to be spectators, but to make a difference in our world. God has called us to be a part of His purpose, but He hasn't just called us, He's also empowered us. So last week we talked about the promise that God has what we need for the days that we are in. How many know we're in some interesting days? And how we know God has what we need for the days that we're a part of. And I want you to know, it doesn't matter if the days are up or down. It doesn't matter who's in office or who's not in office. It doesn't matter if the stock market's going up or whether it's going down. The good news is this, that God has what we need for the days that we are in. And last week we talked about the promise of the Holy Spirit that God has for us, where Jesus told His followers, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So today, as we continue our discussion on Empowered, we are going to talk about speaking life. Now, how many of you like chainsaws? Okay, I like chainsaws. Chainsaws are fun, and it's like one of the little things that I like to do that keeps me out of trouble. And I haven't lost any limbs yet, which I'm also very grateful for. But I remember hearing a joke when I was a kid that I thought was ridiculously funny. Now, I'm just warning you, I shared this earlier in Dryden, and like nobody thought it was funny, but I still think it's funny. So you ready for the joke? It's about a chainsaw and a lumberjack who used to use saws and axes. How many remember the good old days? And he heard that there was this wonderful newfound tool called the chainsaw that would make his work go faster. So he went to the salesman, and the salesman told him that, you know what, if you get this certain chainsaw, it will help you cut down 20 trees a day. And he was ecstatic because 20 trees is like a whole lot more trees than he had ever done in a day. And so he thought that would be awesome. So he gets it and returns a couple days later and goes, "This thing is worthless. I went out and I worked all day and all I got was 2 trees down." And the salesman was like, "Well, I don't know what to say." And so he said, "Well, here, let me give you another one." So he gave him another one. And he said, "Well, this one, it's a bigger one. And so, you know, if it works right, it'll get you to the place where you'll do 40 trees a day." And he goes, "Well, that's amazing." And so he goes out and sure enough, comes back a few days later and is just like, "This thing is useless. I didn't get any more trees than the last time. This thing doesn't work." And so the guy goes, "Well, let's see what's wrong with it." And so he choked it and he pulled the chain and it started making that sound. You know that sound. And the man was shocked and he said, "What's that noise?" And I always loved that joke. I always loved it. Because you can just imagine, I don't know about you, but I'm a visual person. So I just imagine this man in a wood with a chainsaw trying to take it down and it's not working. How many know it needs the noise to make the tree come down? Can I get an amen on that one? Can I get some noise on that one? Well, I actually think, part of the reason I like the joke is because I think it actually has something to say about the church. Did you know that the church was created to be noisy? Chirp, 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 chirp. How many have ever been to church and it's always like, "Shh, be quiet. Quiet, shh. How many know the church is supposed to be quiet? Not really. How many know that the church was meant to be noisy? Okay, one of these days I'm going to preach in a church. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be loud. Now, I want you to know that the outpouring of the church changed the volume of the church. I think volume matters. And I think this, I think like that chainsaw, that's not doing the work that it's not doing because there's no sound. I think that sometimes the church isn't doing what it's doing because there's no sound. That I think a lot of times people go past a church and they're never asking the question, "What's that noise?" Because the church isn't making the sound. And I want you to understand that I believe that God wants to do something in us that changes the volume, that changes the sound. Understand, on that day of Pentecost, there arose a noise from within the church that empowered them to accomplish the divine mission. And in that noise, it wasn't just random noise. It wasn't just noise for the sake of noise. It was actually speech. And so as we continue to look at this idea of being empowered, we're going to focus on the idea of articulation or being those who speak and make noise. So as we slowly get into this, can I get an amen on that one?
Amen.
Okay, see, we're getting better. Look, there's a noise. This is good. You're with me. I love this. So this is my big idea this morning. That the Spirit of God empowers His people to speak in a broken world. I'm going to say that again. The Spirit of God empowers His people to speak in a broken world. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at some verses in there. And as we begin, I want to set up an idea for you because I think sometimes we miss it. Now, when the New Testament was being put together, they decided that they would group some different parts of Scriptures together. So I don't know if you've ever looked at the New Testament, but there's a certain ordering to it. And so the first four books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, are called the Gospels. And they are about the story of Jesus. How many are familiar with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Those are the Gospels. Now, of those, the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels because they kind of cover a story that kind of looks from, in a sense, the same vantage point. John has a little different take. But Luke picks up the last part of that. Then after the Gospels, there's history, which is the story of the church that we find in the book of Acts. And then following the book of Acts, we start going through the letters of the church. And so we begin with Paul's letters, and there's about 9 or 10 of them. There's Paul's letters. And then from Paul's letters, it goes on to the other letters, like Peter and James and Jude. And so we get some of those letters. And then after that, we get Revelation, which is the story of the end, how God makes it all right in the end. And so that's how when we come to the Bible, we look at it. Well, in so doing, when we come to the book of Acts, we might miss something that I think is important to remember. And that is, Luke and Acts were never intended to be divided. Luke was not written 1 year, and then like several years later, Luke comes along and says, I think I'm going to write book two, and he goes and writes the book of Acts. Instead, Luke and Acts are actually one big story. This is something you need to understand. And actually, did you know that the person who wrote the most words in the New Testament is actually Luke? Even though Paul has lots and lots and lots of letters, it's Luke who actually wrote most the 27% of the New Testament, which I think is pretty cool. But because he wrote so much, it didn't all fit, in a sense, on one scroll. And so what they would do, this was very common, is what they would do is they would end at a certain place and then start again. And at the ending of it, they would kind of like put some little ideas and stuff like that to prepare you for what's going to come next. And then they would go to the second scroll. And what he does is he reiterates who it's written to, which is Theophilus in chapter 1. And then he does a little bit of a summary of what's taking place in the first part, the first book, the scroll, and then he picks up themes that we find right at the end of Acts, of Luke. And so the reason I say this is because if you want to understand what's going on in Acts, you can't watch it or look at it differently from Luke. So if you want to know how the Gospel of Luke ends, you have to read through Acts. If you want to know what is the setup to the story, you actually have to look. If you're reading Acts, you want to know what's the setup to the story, you actually have to read Luke. And what's really interesting, as you read through Luke and you read through Acts, you'll find that there's a theme that runs through the whole book, and that has to do with the Holy Spirit. And what we find in Luke chapter 4, Jesus begins his ministry in the power of the Spirit. And so he stands before the synagogue, and he takes the scroll, and he unrolls it to the place where it says, which we know as Isaiah chapter, 63. Isaiah 63, that says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to proclaim freedom for the captives, recovery of sight of the blind, to set free those who have been oppressed, and to declare the year of the Lord's favor." The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, how many have ever read the Gospel of Luke or seen the stories in the Gospel of Luke, and you're like going, my goodness, Jesus does amazing things. How many know Jesus does amazing things, right? Well, that same Spirit that's on Jesus is the same Spirit that is placed upon his followers as they continue what Jesus began. And this is so important for us to understand, that the role of the Holy Spirit is really to empower us to live the purpose of God. The same Spirit that empowered Jesus' ministry is the same Spirit that's been given to empower us. How many think that's pretty amazing? And so at the beginning of Acts, this is what it says in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 17. "In the last days," God says, "I will pour out my Spirit," now watch this, "on all people." I want you to note this. Remember, it began with Jesus in a synagogue saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." But in the last day, "The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God, I will pour out my Spirit on all people." Now watch this. "Your sons and daughters will" what? They will what? Say it loud.
Prophesy.
They will prophesy. Now, we're going to talk about this morning. This is so good. You're all like, this is either going to be weird or wonderful. You're not kind of sure where this one's going to land yet. But I want you to note this. "The Spirit of God will be on his people," on all people, "and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." And then it goes on to say in the next part, "Your young men will see visions." I did that one already. "Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." Now what's the next part say? "And they will prophesy." They will prophesy. Oh my goodness. Now let me keep reading. We're going to come back to this. Jesus goes on, Peter goes on to declare, "I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Okay, I want to talk about this passage because, I think that God wants to empower us for his purpose. Now, what we're going to look at today, again, is this idea of articulation or speaking words, and this is why my message is entitled Speaking Life. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I've shared before, and I'm just going to just remind you, and that is this: words are powerful. How many know words are powerful? Like, we can speak things, and so, well, this is what it says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. "The tongue has the power of life and death." How many know we can speak things that build people up, and we can speak things that tear people down? We can speak words that will infuse life into situations. We can also go into those same situations and say something and make it worse. Right, so like that's where I came up with my idea that there's no situation so bad that you can't open your mouth and make it worse. How many have done that before? Like, it's a learned truth for me, and I'm still working on it, because we know that what we speak impacts the world we're a part of. Now, just so you know, there's a reason for this. So if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, it says this, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You all remember the story, because we keep coming back to the story because it's an important story. God creates the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and the Spirit of God hovered over, you know, over the waters. And then it says this, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So how did he begin the work of creation? He spoke. And when God spoke, let there be light, there was light. I want you to understand that when you keep reading down in that passage, you'll end up finding this, that God will say this, let us make humanity in our image. Let's make humanity in our image. And so understand that there is something about us that reflects the nature of God in that, in our ability to speak, we can shape the world we're a part of. Because of our fallenness, we can speak not just words that bring life, but we can also speak words that break. We can speak words that destroy, that tear down, that ruin. We have the ability to do that. Now, some of you, you carry deep in the heart of who you are as a person words people have spoken over you. Some of you, you had amazing parents who spoke words that have built you up. And for you, as you go through your journey, you hear those words and sayings. They're like, I'm proud of you. You're amazing. You're the best preacher in the world. I got all of those in me. It's beautiful. Right? There's other people. There are things that maybe your parents have said. Maybe a spouse. Maybe your children. That have said to you, and what they have said have so deeply penetrated you that it may even be years and decades, and that continues to influence how it is that you live and act in this world. Because I want you to know, words are powerful. And they shape the world that is around us. But I want you to know, it's not just the words that are spoken, it's also the words that are not spoken. How many have ever been in situations where you wanted somebody to say something and they didn't say it? See, the words have power even in their absence, because there's a part where we long for something to be said, maybe something that's going to affirm or build up or to help us understand we can make it through this. But those words are never said. Words are not just powerful in their presence, but words are powerful in their absence. And I think this is one of the reasons why the enemy of our souls longs to keep the church silent. You see, I think there's a push within our culture. I think there's a push within the spirit of this age that says, you know what, if you want to have faith, that's fine. Just keep it private. Don't say anything. Like, keep it to yourself. Just be quiet about it. Fine. If you want it, fine. Don't say anything out loud. And sometimes the church simply lives in silence. And because the church isn't speaking, it's not shaping the world we're a part of. You see, words are powerful. And I want you to understand that God wants to empower His people to speak. You see, God empowers us to impact the world. And this is the purpose of Pentecost. It is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that enables His followers to speak. Now, what started in private? It started in a private room where the disciples were together. But all of a sudden, as the Spirit of God was poured out, there was a noise that began to percolate up, to percolate out, and this noise began to get beyond the room that they were in. And this noise was the sound of their praises to God in the languages of the world that was around them. Now, I think this is an amazing passage. We see this in Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, it says this: Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And what had gone on, because this is Pentecost, this was a festival where people came from all over, and the Jewish people had been scattered throughout their history. Yet there were those who would keep coming back to Jerusalem in hope of God, doing something amazing. And here we are on Pentecost. And just so you know, Pentecost was a celebration, not only just of the harvest, but it, by Jesus' time, it became a celebration of the giving of the Torah, or the giving of the law that helped the people be who they were. And it says that the people had come from all these different nations. And then it says this: when they heard this sound, I want you to know, the people outside the building heard a sound. And a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." We hear them praising God in our own tongues. Now, just so you know, this day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit was actually the fulfillment of something Moses hoped for. Do y'all remember Moses, right? Sinai, the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments, that Moses. Well, one day, Moses was, he was dealing with his people. How many know that people can be a pain? Come on, be honest. I won't ask you if you're sitting next to one, that's fine. But you know, people can be, I don't know, messy, bothersome. Well, it so happened that this is one of those times where the people were getting a little bit bothersome. Because all they kept doing was complaining. Nothing Moses did was good enough, and he was just tired. And so he prayed to God. How many of you pray to God in your tiredness sometimes? Like, "God, I'm done with this." Just so you know, that's where Moses was at. And Moses begins to pray because he's feeling overwhelmed with the task that was entrusted to him. He was given the responsibility of leading God's people, not just out of Egypt, but through the wilderness in order to get to the promised land. And he was just like, "I can't do this." And so God said, "This is what I want you to do, Moses. I recognize what I've asked you to do is too big for you. So what I want you to do is I want you to gather 72 leaders from among the people, and I want all of you to meet me at the tent of meeting." And God told Moses this: "And I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you, and I will put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you, so that you don't have to carry it alone." I'm going to read that last little bit because I think this is so important. Moses is like, "I can't do this by myself." And God says, "Listen, I'm going to pour my Spirit upon them, and they will share the burden of the people with you, so that you will not have to carry it alone." So when you read the first five books of the Old Testament, one of the ideas that comes back again and again is that doing something alone is not good. Like Adam, even though there was like a God in heaven, you know, above him, and there were animals below him, and it was just Adam, God says, "It's not good. It's not good that he's alone." You see, we were not intended to do life alone. That which we've been called to do is not something we've been called to do alone. I want you to hear, the mission of the church is not to be done by one or two alone. And God said, I'm going to take some of the Spirit from you and I'm going to put it on them. And you know what happened as a result? It says, when the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. I want you to hear that. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. They began to speak. Now, as you go through the story, you find out that 72 were told to do it and 70 met at the tent. Two other people kind of got caught up in life and they forgot to make the appointment. You ever have those moments you forget to make the appointment? And so the two were just hanging out somewhere in the community. And the Spirit of God, when it fell, didn't just fall on the 70, it fell on the two. Now, Joshua, y'all remember Joshua, the walls come down, Joshua? Goes up to Moses, and I love what Joshua says. And Joshua's like, Moses, make them stop. Like, they shouldn't be prophesying. Moses, make them stop. And then Moses said this. I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets. And that the Lord would put His Spirit on them. Like, the task is too great for even one or even 72. I just wish the Spirit of God was on all people, all of God's people. And I look at the world that we're a part of, and how many know it's not going to just take one or two to fix our world or to see our world touched and changed. It's not just going to take one, no matter how great that one person may be. It's not enough. This is why the prophet Joel, whom Peter quotes, he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And they will prophesy. They will begin to speak in a way that's going to begin to change that the world, the way that the world that they are a part of. Now, when you read it in Acts, it looks a little bit different than it does in Joel. And one of the ways that it is different is there's a reiteration right at the end of verse 18 where it's stated again, and they will prophesy. The Spirit of God will come upon them and they will begin to speak. They will begin to speak messages from God under the power of the Spirit. Messages of hope. Messages of encouragement. Messages of life. You see, we live in a world where people are hurting, where they are broken, where they are in desperate need to hear what God has to say to them. How many know that God has something to say to everybody? And it's not always just, dude, fly right. Listen, God wants people to know how deeply He loves them, how He cares for them, how He wants grace and mercy to transform their lives. And we have been given that opportunity. Now understand, it's not about everybody becoming a Moses, but it's about sharing in the burden of the mission. And we are empowered by the Spirit to begin to speak, to shape the world we're a part of. If you will take time to read through the remainder of the book of Acts, you know what you'll find out? That much momentum begins and it's enabled by articulated speech. Because people begin to speak, things begin to happen. You'll see it in Acts chapter 3 where Peter and John go to the gate called Beautiful and there's a man who's been paralyzed his whole life. And this is what Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they took him by the hand And he got up and walked. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, it goes something like this. Preach wherever you go, and if necessary, use words. How many of you have ever heard something like that? I know that often, because the church has done a terrible time at times of living far below what it is that they say. And so the message often becomes, well, I'll prove it through my living rather than through my speaking. I actually don't agree with that statement. And the reason is I don't think it's either or. I actually think it's actually both and. I think we need to live right, but we also have to be very intentional about speaking. See, this is what Paul would write in Romans. Faith comes by hearing. Everybody say hearing. Can you hear me? Faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing what? The Word of God. They're hearing God's Word spoken to them. Again, what's the idea of prophecy? It's about us speaking God's Word to people. Now, understanding that idea of prophecy, it's not about us, whatever we say, thus is the Word of God. It's about saying that that which we speak, the message we speak, is in alignment with what God has already written and revealed in His Word. But faith comes by hearing. Did you know that the heavens declare the glories of God? Did you know that all humanity is actually subject to judgment based on creation itself? Because when you look at creation, there's a sense of awe and wonder you see, because there's a sense that there's someone greater than me. But the recognition that there is a God that is greater than you does not save you. That which saves you is the message of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that transforms people. It brings them from death to life. And yes, we have to live lives that reflect the fact that we are following Jesus, but we can never let that be an excuse for us not speaking. Because our world is shaped by what we say. As we come to this passage, we'll also, I just want to note one other thing. So our words are powerful. God is empowering people. He's pouring out His Spirit so that we might begin to impact our world. But I also want you to understand that the baptism in the Spirit prepares people for His purpose. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, that which Jesus told His disciples to wait for, it is something that we need because it prepares us for His purpose. This is what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound. Everybody say, a sound. I want you to know, there was a sound at the beginning that started by the Holy Spirit. And then there was a sound that began to come out of His people that began to change the world, that we experienced the impact of even today. There was a sound. There was a sound like the blowing of a violent wind that came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now watch verse 4, because I think verse 4 is amazing. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. Everybody say, began to speak. Okay, they began to speak, right? They didn't just begin to feel something. They began to speak. They began to speak as the Spirit enabled them. There were two movements going on. There was that which the Spirit was doing, the enabling, but there was something the people were doing, which was they began to speak. You see, the evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is they began to speak in other tongues. And this baptism in the Holy Spirit is really a partnership. It's about us as His people learning to give voice. And when I say give voice, I'm saying we make a sound to the stirring of the Spirit. That we begin to give voice to the stirring of the Spirit. As the Spirit moved them, they spoke. And just so you know, as they began to speak, what they began to speak didn't make sense to them. Because they were actually speaking of languages they were not familiar with. And it became for them, in a sense, a language that they were using to praise God and to pray. And it actually became a practice that we find in the early church. That people would begin to pray and praise in the Holy Spirit because they began to practice in private this idea of giving voice to what the Spirit is stirring. I think this is so vital for you and for me in our journey. Because we've been called to make a difference in our world. And for us to make a difference in our world, it is going to require us to give voice to what the Spirit is stirring within us. Because there are going to be times where you're going to be confronted by people and there's going to be a need or there's going to be something that arises and all of a sudden the Spirit of God is going to begin to stir something in you and you have the opportunity to give voice to something that speaks into a situation and a circumstance because God cares about them, cares about what they're in the midst of and wants to communicate something to them. And He's looking for someone who will be that vessel. This is why you and me, we need to be able to cultivate this habit of giving voice to the Spirit. Giving voice to the Spirit stirring. Even in the private places, as the disciples were all gathered in that upper room by themselves, and the Spirit of God began to move, and all of them began to give voice in private to what the Spirit was doing. And all of a sudden that sound began to arise and it gave them an opportunity to give voice to what the Spirit was doing beyond. And as a result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it tells us at the end of Acts, 3,000 were added to their number that day. You see, I think we need to be a people who experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Because what it is it's an opportunity for us to develop that response to the Spirit's stirring. You see, praying in the Spirit helps us connect with God. And it also helps us connect God with our world. Like, I don't know about you, but I go around and I am not unaware of the great need that's all around us. Man, I hear stories about people. I see what people are in the midst of. Like, you ever have those moments you're at the mall and some kid is having a meltdown? And then you're looking at the parents, you're like going, you want to say, would you get a hold of your kid? But then sometimes you see like, oh, that mom's going crazy or that dad's going crazy and that's not going to be good. And you're just like going, you know, there's a whole lot of ugly that's going on in that little household. You just know it. My heart breaks. Because God looks at that and says, listen, I got a word. I got something that I want to share for that family. I care deeply about that child. I care deeply about those parents. And I care deeply about what they're a part of. I want my life to be manifest in them. And I got to tell you, I pray all the time. I see people, I start praying for them. But it's not just about praying. It's about speaking. It's about being able to come up to people alongside of them with the grace and love of God and begin to share what it is that the Spirit of God wants to speak into that situation. Did you know that God is intimately aware of what the people... He's intimately aware of what you're struggling with today. He's intimately aware of what it is. Like, you're going to run into people in just a little bit because we're going to close and you're going to leave this place. You're going to deal with family. You're going to deal with friends. You're going to go to the mall, go to a restaurant, wherever. And everybody that you come in contact with, God is intimately familiar with what's going on in their lives. And He knows what they need. And who knows But maybe God is bringing you across their path because there's a message He wants to share with them. And it can't be that we're just going to wait for one or two people to do it. It's not about just one or two people. It's about all of us. It's about us being the people sharing the burden of the mission together. You see, the Spirit of God is what empowers His people to speak life in the midst of a broken world. And I'm convinced now more than ever that you and I, we need the Spirit of God upon our hearts and lives. If we're going to speak life, I'm convinced that we need to begin to seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's about us saying, God, would you help me become sensitive to what you're doing in this place, in my midst? It's about learning to lean into His presence. Now, you and I, we both know this. How many know you can come to church but not be in church? Can I get a witness? How many know you can hear a preacher but not really hear a preacher? You know what I'm talking about? And sometimes we do things out of duty. If I'm going to be a good person, I need to go to church. Because if I don't do the good thing, how many know it's going to get the bad thing? So I better do the good thing. But I want you to know more than just doing the good thing. I think there's an opportunity for you and I every day to lean into God's presence. Like, I think there's something special about when we come together and we have an opportunity to worship together and we get to lift our voices in praise to God. I believe that when we lean in, man, there's an opportunity for something to change. And I know some of you, you're here and you know all about this idea of, like, you've been here and we're singing and all of a sudden something inside you just begins to move and you're like going, man, it just feels like God's here. Because He is. And part of it is saying, God, would you help me be open to who you are? And God, would you begin to help me give voice to what you're stirring inside me? God, would you begin to help stir me in such a way? And again, this isn't about for everybody else. This is about, God, this is what I need for me. And not only do we need to seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but we also have to practice giving voice to the Spirit stirring. Can I tell you? The church needs a little volume. Can I get an amen on that one? Amen. That was like, how many, what was it? They dial it up to 11, Jim. What is it? Spinal Tap. Put it on 11, right? Turn it up to 11. Uh-huh. Okay, church, we need to turn it up to 3. On our way to 4. Listen, this is the place where we have to learn to practice this stuff, because how many know that you don't have a choir following you around? You don't always get that encouragement, right? But you need to learn it now. We need to learn to give voice to what it is the Spirit is stirring. And again, 11 would be amazing, but 3 would be good. It's a good start. If you're a 2, take it to 3. If you're a 3, take it to 4. If you're a 10, that's awesome. Just stay there. Don't go above it. No, just don't be an overachiever, right? You've all met those people. No, bring it back down. But I think that there's something about, are we giving voice? Do we have a sound? I think it's also about us learning to pray and praise in the Spirit. Like on a regular basis, whether you're with people or without people. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Like this is, it tells us in Jude, it says, build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Like I know for me, like my prayer time can be in all sorts of places and in all sorts of ways, but there's just those moments where I just begin to pray in the Spirit. Sometimes long, sometimes not long. It's just because, as it tells us in, was it Romans chapter 8, that the Spirit helps us in our weakness when we don't know what to pray. The Spirit Himself intercedes on our behalf. And there's this aspect of saying, you know what, I'm gonna do this. And I'm convinced that as we do it, it helps us become sensitive to the Spirit stirring. Because I want you to know, the Spirit doesn't just stir in the church service. He's always stirring in His church. And you're the church. And as we do that, I'm convinced that we begin to speak life as we allow the Spirit to begin to lead our conversations. You see, we need to learn to discern His voice so that we can speak for Him in the world around us. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And they will prophesy. They will speak. They'll begin to communicate messages of life and hope to a world in desperate need of the touch of the Father. The Spirit of God empowers His people to speak life in a broken world. I invite the worship team to come up because we're going to close. I want you to remember something. Words are powerful. Some of the words that you've been speaking have not been life-giving. Some of you, the words that you're speaking have been hurting other people. You've been poisoning the well of people's existence. You know what it means to poison the well, right? Like there's someone you don't like, or maybe someone who's hurt you in a certain way, so you tell someone else about it, and in so doing, you poison that well, and all of a sudden, they begin to drink from it, and they begin to experience the hurt and the angst about other people. And it's happening in families, happening at work, maybe even happening in church. Please understand, your words are powerful. And God never intended for you to use that power to destroy. His purpose was that you might bring life. And there's a part for some of us, it's an issue of where we just got to say, God, would you just, God, I need your grace and I need your forgiveness because I have put some stuff in motion. I have said some things. And it has caused great hurt. And it's time to stop. God cares desperately about people and He wants life. And instead of using our lives to tear down others, how about we allow God to empower us to bring life to others? To bring life to our relationships. To bring life to our community and our world. You might say, you don't know what that person has done to me. You're right, I don't. But let me tell you about the one who has the ability to transform us, to heal every brokenness, to lift our burdens, to enable us to speak life. And He wants His Spirit to be poured over us. To be instruments of life. It's about saying, Jesus, I can't do this alone. I need your Spirit to help me. I need your Holy Spirit to fill me. I need your Spirit so that I can speak words that will bring good change, will bring life. Maybe instead of speaking any more about some of the things that are bothering you and your frustrations, maybe it's time to seek God until He fills you with His Holy Spirit so He can begin to bring life out of you. Because that's what He's here for. The Spirit of God empowers His people to speak life in a broken world. It's the gift that's for us. May we receive it. May we be empowered by it. And may the name of our Savior be glorified in us. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your love and mercy. I thank You that You are the God who wants to bring life. And God, we recognize that, Lord, in Your grace, You have created us in Your image. And Lord, we acknowledge that words are powerful. Lord, we also acknowledge the fact that, Lord, sometimes we don't use them well for You. So, Lord, we need You and we need Your Spirit. God, I know we live in a broken world. There are broken hearts and broken relationships, broken communities, broken families. God, in the midst of this break-in, we can become so hopeless that we can give up on things. You're the God of life. And God, You want to use us to begin to change and to transform that which sin has wrecked. Not because of how good we are, but because of Your amazing, amazing love. So Holy Spirit, we need You. Jesus, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. To help us speak life. Lord, would You consume us with Your fire? Would You purify our hearts and our minds? Would You use us as vessels of change? In Jesus' name. Just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, we're just going to close with a chorus here in just a moment. But how many would just simply say, you know what, I need the help of the Holy Spirit to help me speak life. That you would just raise your hand. See those hands? Thank you. Thank You. Lord Jesus, You see the hands and You see the situations. And so, God, we look to You. Fill us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.